You're listening to Ecto Portal, a journey into the unknown with Anthony Anderson and Verna Wilson.
I hope that you are seated comfortably with the light turned down and the curtains drawn.
Hello, welcome back once again to Ecto Portal, another journey into the unexplored, the unexplained, the unknown. I'm Anthony Anderson, your host, and I'm here with my co-host,
Verna Wilson. Hi, everybody. Good to be back.
Yes, we are back from the dead.
We're back from that empty space.
COVID.
That silent space.
Yeah. We did do some shows during COVID for a while.
For a little while.
But it was challenging. I don't think the quality was as good as it should have been during that time, but we didn't have much of a choice. So we took a break.
Yep.
A nice long break. Got to explore new ideas and come up with new plans. And then we thought, you know what?
We talked back and forth about it.
Yep.
It's not like we weren't thinking about it during the break.
Yeah.
And if you were a former listener of ours, thank you for coming back. We appreciate you. And if you're a new listener, welcome. We hope you get to know us.
We did about over 5.5 years. We did about 220 shows.
Yep.
So this is our first one back is 221.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows.
Slowly, I'm putting all the archives up on YouTube, and you'll be able to access them from our website here. The archives will be there. It'll take you to YouTube, or you can actually listen to it on the site.
Yeah, listen to the archives. We have some really good ones.
We do, and a lot. There's a lot of material we've covered.
Yeah.
Every genre of the paranormal, we've pretty much covered it. But we always find something new to talk about in these podcasts. So I love sharing that stuff, and I love finding this stuff.
We try to find the unusual, not the subjects people aren't talking about. We understand it's the paranormal. People are going to think that we're weirdos anyway, and that the subjects are weird anyway. But we really try to go off the rails with it. Yeah,
and we've definitely found some subjects.
Oh yeah,
that are off the rails, controversial even.
Oh yeah, and I would say I would be talking with an ordinary person, lay person, and I would say, yeah, we did a subject about such and such. They said, oh, that's creepy.
Yeah,
I said, that's the point.
Yep, the paranormal and the unknown can cover just about anywhere, any genre.
It can be from the creepy to something really cool and interesting that's inspiring, too.
Yep, we still do cryptids, UFOs, obviously ghost stories, hauntings.
That's been covered.
Magic.
Yeah, magic,
witches.
Right, yay.
Cults. We cover everything.
We cover everything, yeah. But we've also covered the unusual, and we are going to be doing a reunion show where we're going to be talking about the subjects and people that we covered that were not subjects or people that were easy to find, and we're going to be doing a reunion show at some point where we're going to be going over everything, and we're going to be having our news person that was with us, Linda Walker. She'll be joining us. So stay tuned for the reunion show. You're going to really enjoy it.
And just so you know, on our past shows, we've had guests from ufology field.
Oh, yeah.
We've had book authors come on. We've had actors, television and film actors come
on. People with unusual experiences.
Yep. And somehow, our pretty much our criteria is It has to somehow be related to the paranormal, the unknown, mysterious,
right,
the unexplained, to be on the show in the first place. So
right,
there might be people you never thought, why would they be on their show? But there's a story behind it, and they do have a connection. So,
and if you have a story, and the story is worth telling, we'd love to hear about it.
We would, absolutely.
Yeah. And we always keep an open mind.
So during lockdown, Verna, what did you do besides our shows, which we did for a while, and then we took a break? Did you like lockdown? Did you discover anything new about yourself? Did you pick up anything, new hobbies during lockdown?
Well, I don't know if I picked up any new hobbies during lockdown, but I was concentrating on the hobbies that I already enjoyed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well...
Reading.
Well, yeah, I did a lot of reading, but yeah. I was also working really hard during, you know, I didn't have the free time that everybody thought you would have during lockdown. I would just work a lot because
you're a workaholic during lockdown?
I was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would work a lot. And I would take, and in between that, I would take a lot of walks because.
That's what I did too.
And yeah,
I get to the point where I needed to have my walks.
I had to have it.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens after a while. That habit, you're like, I need to go take my walk because like, I think better, I get fresh air, I think about things. That's kind of what I use it for.
And you know, you remember those first months during lockdown when some items were hard to find because...
Toilet paper.
My hobby during lockdown was that every couple of days, I would find a new place where I could get this and I can get that and I could stock up. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't easy to stock up back then.
No. And when I could, I also stocked up. But because everybody stocked up, which is why nobody's finding it on the shelves, which is sad.
But you know, I actually did end up going to places that people didn't think about to buy certain things. And I bought a lot of it, and people would say, what's your secret? Where do you find it? And
I'm shop. Like,
well, yeah, but, you know, so anyway, that was what, I mean, yeah. I was walking, but I was also trying to survive and find things. Mm-hmm. That's the first few months. And, of course, you know, trying to not to go near people because at the time they didn't have a vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you could die from it at the time.
Yeah, you had to be very, very careful. It's
you had
true.
To be very, very
Masks,
careful.
Everything.
Yeah, but then I also ran across some very rude people who would be walking on the sidewalk. They said, I don't want to go near you. You got germs. And I would be like, well, then go the other side. Jeez. People were very rude back then.
They still are.
Oh, well. Yeah, they sure were. But anyway, besides that, I did pick up on my reading, of course, uh-huh. and I also picked up on my writing.
Okay,
and
that's good.
Yeah, I picked up on my writing, and you know, I've been writing since childhood, but something clicked, and writing just started pouring out.
That's good.
And it just started pouring out, and I started sharing it, and people liked it,
nice.
And I want to continue, and I want to. And that's something that I'm actually going to try to do some more of.
Great.
And what about you?
I actually, during lockdown, I did quite a bit. Almost, it reminds me of back years ago when I was unemployed, when I became a volunteer in Alcatraz. I learned how to watercolor, acrylic. I was like filling my time while looking for a job.
I like your paintings.
I'm always like consuming how to do something new.
Everybody, he does some beautiful paintings.
Thank you.
Beautiful watercolors.
So during lockdown, I helped develop a Haunted Hate pub crawl with Tommy Netspan.
Oh, yeah.
He does the Paranormal Experience Tour. If you go to hauntedhate.com, we also together developed this Haunted Hate pub crawl, which is about four or five haunted pubs in the Haight-Ashbury district. We give you history, we give you the hauntings, you have a drink at each place and sit and enjoy it and maybe investigate a little if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But we developed that over the last year and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we got it up and running, we tested it, and ran it last Halloween. It went really, really great. It's kickstarting now. Like I said, go to hauntedhate.com. The Haunted Pub Crawl is on Friday nights mm-hmm. until June, and then it's going to be Friday and Saturday. And the Haunted Paranormal Experience is on Saturday night. So go to hauntedhate.com and you can choose which of those two tours. It's $22. That includes the ticket fees. It's the most inclusive, actually done by real ghost hunters. And
they're great storytellers, those two.
Thank you. And, like I said, it's real paranormal investigation, eyewitnesses. It isn't just stuff we got off the internet. We had to develop, interview people, talk to people, get experiences to develop it. And we got a really, really good reaction out of it. So there is a little true crime in the haunted pub crawl. So as long as you're not for the faint of heart and you like true crime, there is a nice true crime gooey center during the tour itself, during the haunted pub crawl. It's about 2 hours. Both of them are about 2 hours each, so check it out. So besides that, I picked up writing again as well.
Yeah, you have a book out.
It's not really new. It's been around for about a year plus. It's called Amazon Kindle Vella, and what it is it works like a serial book, like a novella is a shorter book. They're done in what they call episodes, which in the literary world would be chapters.
Mm-hmm.
And you're writing a chapter, and the first three chapters are free for anybody who wants to read. And after that, if you like the story, you can buy points from Kindle Vella, and then you can unlock those other chapters in sequence. If you start to get into the story and you really like it, you have the option to purchase it. Otherwise, you can read three and go, you know, I'm done. Let me try something else. It's great for authors. They're using it to write their books weekly, like one episode a week.
Yeah, it's a good way to get your writing exposed.
It is,
sure.
And it's good practice. You can rewrite it. You can schedule them weeks ahead and re-edit it and shape it. And then when you get done, I think you have to have like 30 maximum episodes. A lot of people are making it into a Kindle book after that. So it's a good practice, and it's a good way to develop your writing skills and make you continually write every week and not just sit down and go, oh my God, I have so much to write, it's going to take forever. This actually paces it out for you. So it's an interesting side note from Kindle, but I've tried a Halsted. It's a paranormal saga, supernatural saga about a family in Maine. Yeah, check it out. Look for that Halsted, Anthony Anderson. It's on the Kindle Vella. And I've just started. I've got 4 going on 5 episodes now, so I'm into it now.
You know, with your knowledge of the paranormal, if I'm going to read a paranormal story, I would want to read yours.
Well, I like true stuff, so
yeah.
I really like to incorporate actual paranormal activity and experiences, not just... I mean, I make stuff up, too. Obviously, it's fiction.
Yeah.
But I like to... I'm more fascinated by real paranormal stories and how I can weave that into the storyline.
Right.
So check that out. And I'm working on a new paranormal series. I won't say the name of it yet, but it's kind of a guidebook for different regions of the country.
Oh, yeah.
And it'll tell you the most famous haunted spots in each city. And that'll probably be a Kindle series of books. So you can take those to the city you go to and you know where to go, you know the stories and... you know, addresses and things. So, yeah. So, I've been working on that stuff. Keeping busy. Getting into a lot of Hammer movies. I always saw a few Hammer movies.
Right.
But I really got into Hammer movies during lockdown. So, I became a Hammer aficionado and watched a lot of Hammer movies. They're great.
There's some good ones. Yeah. Yeah. And I actually, on a not so good note, I was dealing with some medical problems that prevented me from us coming back right away. I'm much better now, and it's getting better. But you know, you got to take care of yourself first.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to say we couldn't take a break anyway. So that's exactly what we did. We took a break.
We did talk about coming back sooner. Mm-hmm. We had some life things. We have some life things to take care of. You know, things happen. We have to take care of things. We have to take care of ourselves. And we couldn't come back as soon as we wanted to. But we were always talking about it, and it was always in the back of our mind. So now here we are, and
ready to go.
Yeah,
new episodes, lots of new topics ahead. New guests.
Everything. Yep. It's all coming back, and we hope to make it better than ever.
Absolutely. We have a new website now, ectoportal.com.
Yep. Go to the website.
Yep. And you can see all our, like I said, our past archives are going to be there, our blog, any articles we find that are curious. So everything's going to be there. You're going to see a schedule of shows coming up. So you can kind of get a good base for all our activity will be on that website.
Yeah, and I think in the beginning of the show, last time, I actually did a few blogs. So I might try to get the archives for those past blogs for the, that went with the past shows and put them in there.
Yeah,
because
I'll transfer
there was
them
some,
over.
Yeah, there was some great explanations for those shows that gave your point of view, like a preview before you actually. And I might actually want to start doing that again because a lot of people got into it. And I will be talking about it, and then I'll tell. And then I told everybody at the end, "I'll see you on the air." And then people would get an idea. Okay, this is what the show's going to be about, and let's talk about them. They would really get into the subject with us.
Well, what's good is it gives you your perspective, and if you like came up with the idea for the show that particular week,
right?
You could tell us your point of view. Why did this resonate with you?
Right.
When you read
the
story, when you found the idea, you thought, wow, you know what? I like this because, and that was really good about the blog. So.
It was some great pictures to accompany everything.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So that's what we're on to. Tonight's show, of course, is the Haunted Atherton Mansion in San Francisco on California Street.
In my neighborhood, a haunted mansion. Well.
That's right. I'd love to
And I don't
in.
Think I've ever been to it.
I haven't either, actually. We'll have to do that. I wish we knew someone who was there so we could go investigate.
Go inside?
And,
We'll talk about that. Yeah. I mean, I've gone past it probably.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
Of course I have. It's my neighborhood.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to present the history of it, the hauntings of the Atherton Mansion. For those of you that live in San Francisco or the Bay Area, you can check it out on your own.
And for those of you who don't, you probably want to go past it if you're visiting the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, those people are going to see a lot of people going past their house.
And if you live there, contact us.
Oh, yeah. If you live there, we want to hear from you.
Who knows? Maybe we'll do a podcast live from inside the Atherton Mansion.
Yeah, and if you want to be our guests and talk about your experiences in the place, we'd love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, so let's get to the paranormal news. What do you say?
Okay, let's do it.
And welcome back to the Paranormal News. Verna, what have you got for us this week?
Well, this article actually comes from Fox News.
Ew.
I know. I know, but it was a cool article, so I thought, okay, I'll excuse the fact that it's from Fox News.
Okay.
It's about a trucker. His name was William Church, and he saw a figure on the side of an Arizona highway, and in his opinion, it could be a ghost. So this was on Route 87, and...
Where at? Does it say where it was?
Well, it was on the side of the empty road on
Route 80. Where, though?
In Arizona.
Okay, that's what I was...
I'm sorry. Yeah, Arizona, on Route 87, and he thinks it could be the side of a ghost. So what it was is that he's a truck driver, and he was driving down Route 87 on March 11th, which, you know... not too long ago, and he noticed that there was a bright light glaring in his dash cam, and he thinks, and in his opinion, the flashing figure could be a ghost. And so anyway, he spotted it around 2:30 a.m. local time, and when he passed the 200 mile marker, which is located between Phoenix and Payson, Arizona. He thinks that he saw what looked like a person standing in the roadway. And he said that you could see the outline of the person with the legs, including the legs. It looked like a figure, a body figure.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they went ahead and they put a cam in the article. And if you go to our Ectoportal's Facebook page, you can see the article with the cam.
You might have to scroll a bit to find the
article. Yeah, you're
going
to have to scroll a bit. Yeah, but it's there. And you can see the video where it shows the person standing there. And they put a couple of clips. And it was captured, actually, on a security dash cam. So
did you watch it?
I watched it.
I thought it was pretty convincing.
It was pretty convincing. Look at that person.
But you can actually see the person walking. I know. I was
convinced.
Impressed by it.
And normally... it takes a lot to impress me and Tony. Trust me.
They're just blobs.
We just kind of look. We just kind of go, mm-hmm.
This isn't a blob.
This is not a blob. Cool. This looks like a person. And it looks like that person has underwear or shorts on.
And it isn't. Sometimes you see these videos where you could tell the way they're shooting the camera, like, it's like they're waiting, and then the thing happens
right
into frame, and it's all very staged.
Yeah.
This is not staged at all. You can tell it's a dash cam. He did not set it up to get a great shot of it, but it's just enough that you can see it.
It's just enough, right. So let's explain a little bit about Arizona State Route 87. It's a north-to-south highway that was constructed in 1927, and it measures approximately 272.66 miles. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it travels to State Route 264 near Second Mesa. And if any of you live in Arizona, you probably know the highway. You probably know this, what I'm talking
route,
about.
Yeah.
You know this route, yeah. So anyway, it travels to Interstate 10 near Picacho, which is an unincorporated community and a census designated place in Arizona. So anyway, unfortunately, a lot of car accidents have happened on the highway, which has reportedly led to some locals believing that probably the highway's haunted. Well, that it could be haunted.
Gotcha.
And then and Valley Chevy dealers in Phoenix actually named State Route 87 as one of Arizona's most dangerous roads because of its beeline route that has a lot of looping turns.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, it was built a long time ago. Maybe they should modernize it.
Lots of car wrecks could lead to lots of hauntings, though.
Yeah, that's true. And my gosh, that person looks like they're either wearing underwear or shorts in that cam. But it does look like a person walking.
Maybe it was a runner that got hit.
It could be.
You
which
never
is,
know.
Which is very sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
But it's a great video clip. Check it out.
It's a very great video clip. And a recent car crash did happen on State 87 near milepost 201 in early February, according to the latest news. Mm. And it was a two-vision collision, two-vehicle collision, and it resulted in the death of one person, which is very sad. So anyway, they don't know the cause of the crash, but it's interesting, and people have been reported to see actually figures walking in that road before.
So that's not unusual then.
It's not unusual. So anyway, check it out, and if you live in the area and you've seen something, we'd like to hear about it.
Absolutely.
So what do you have, Tony?
I also have a paranormal story with a video clip.
Oh.
A security guard took it. It's circulating online right now, and a lot of people think it's a legendary ghost figure from Singaporean folklore known as the German Girl.
The German Girl.
Yeah, she's a security guard on the island of Pulau Ubin. And according to the lore, the young woman is a German national who lived there during the First World War.
Huh.
And she died when she fell off the cliff while fleeing from the invading British forces.
Sad.
Now, the alleged resting place of the character had transformed into a shrine over the years, many visitors leaving offerings to the German girl.
Which is very kind.
And on occasion, her spirit manifested before them. In this instance, the actual ghost security guard was actually taking a video. It's nighttime, and it was a rainstorm that was keeping him from being able to walk around doing his rounds at night.
Mm-hmm.
He was looking at the footage afterwards, and he saw a woman dashing alongside of a wall. And many people see the video and they think it's the legendary German girl. She's wearing an old, like, medieval style gown. Which is a
medieval style gown. Yep. Wow.
And she supposedly died in 1914. Some people think the spirit is simply a human being wearing a raincoat running to avoid getting caught in the rain. The video, if you go to our Facebook page, just like you said, scroll down, you can find the article, you can see the video clip. I saw the video. It is pretty distant. You'll see it's very dark. You see the figure. You can't really tell because it's so far away. It might be medieval gown.
But they were longer gowns back then.
And it was.
1914.
It is.
Yeah, I mean, the dresses were a little longer back then.
Yeah, I don't know. But it's kind of vague to me. It wasn't as impressive as, let's say, the video you had.
Right.
But it's interesting. So go check it out because she looks like she's literally walking into the wall in the distance. It's outside. There's trees by the wall and stuff, but she just sort of walks that direction. Like, she doesn't even realize I'm walking into a wall.
But what makes everybody think it's the German girl? It could be somebody else.
Well, because that's the area that...
That was the area.
She jumped off the cliff.
Right.
And I think that's where the wall is there now, so people can't fall off the cliff.
Right. Yeah, they fixed
it. So, I think maybe it's her, because that's where she jumped off the cliff. I mean, there's skeptics, obviously.
Of course. There's always going to be that.
Whenever I'm not totally convinced, you'll always hear me go, that's interesting.
That's interesting.
Because it is.
Yeah, I'm not convinced. But you're not convinced. Yeah.
So go check that out. It's an interesting clip to see anyway, and see what you think about it.
Healthy skepticism is good.
Absolutely. All right. That's the Paranormal News, folks.
Hope you enjoyed it.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're ignorant.
They're coming for you, Barbara.
Stop it! You're acting like a child.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
All right, and now tonight's show is a haunting. A local haunted mansion here in San Francisco. And there's quite a few old haunted mansions in San Francisco. And we've actually talked about this story before when we did The Ghosts of San Francisco. It's an old episode.
You know, I remember that because there was a part in there that I do remember we talked about.
Don't give it away.
I won't.
Okay, so here we go. So I'm going to go ahead and start us off.
Okay.
Now, there's this mansion, obviously, the Atherton Mansion. Faxon D. Atherton, he was from Massachusetts. He became a trader of food commodities, animal hides, out of Chile. He was one of the wealthiest on the Pacific coast. In 1860, Faxon moved to California and purchased real estate. One of the estates was called the Valparaiso Park, which is now where the Atherton Mansion actually resides. But that's what it was called at that time. It was Valparaiso Park. Sorry.
Just a side note, was the town of Atherton named after him?
I don't know that. I don't think so. But okay. That's not impossible. He was one of the wealthiest on the Pacific coast. So
right.
It's very possible.
Okay.
Him or a relative even.
Right.
So Faxon married a woman named Dominga, who was also the daughter of a high stature family in Chile. They had a family with several children. One of their kids, George Bowen, romanced a woman named Gertrude Horn. Now, she refused to marry him unless he was employed, and that his family also didn't really approve that she was divorced and had a child from prior...
Divorced women back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Scarlet letter.
Yeah, it was a disaster if you were divorced.
Exactly. So the romance was soon over, but a marriage did happen, but not to her, but to the woman's own daughter, also named Gertrude. Her name was Gertrude Franklin Horn. He pursued her, and after she said yes. So that's a little weird to court your mother and then end up marrying you.
Then court the daughter, really. Yeah. So Gertrude Jr. Then.
Obviously, his net was not very wide.
No, he just decided to go for the family.
Yeah, since I can't marry you, Gertrude, I'm going to marry you, Gertrude.
The meaning, take your family,
yeah,
has
exactly.
A whole new meaning right there.
He really wanted to marry into this family, apparently.
Yeah.
Faxon Atherton, the father,
mm-hmm.
was a huge womanizer, and he traveled a lot, and he wasn't around much. And Domingo would take charge of the estate. And son George was not so impressed and would often feel like he was under the foot of his father, under the foot of his mother while his father was away. And once Faxon Atherton passed away, Dominga moved to San Francisco in 1881 into the... And the Atherton Mansion was built. So they lived in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
but elsewhere.
Okay. Actually, but they don't say where the old home was.
No.
No, okay.
But this is in 1881. That's when the Atherton Mansion was built.
Mm-hmm.
Dominga lived with her son George, his wife Gertrude, in the mansion on the corner of California and Octavia Street. Very high class and wealthy neighborhood.
Yeah,
it is. To the locals. George was an embarrassment to the family, however. And in 1887, poor George thought, I'm going to prove myself to my family and improve my skills, and I'll make my dad proud of me. He would have loved me now. So he's going to prove himself by going to Chile and visit his friends and make a name for himself and bring back some stature to his family.
He decided to man it up.
He decided to man it up. So he'd come back to San Francisco, and his father would be proud looking down from heaven or up from hell or wherever Pax and
Atherton I'll make the family were. Name proud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But sadly, on the way to Chile, George's luck ran out. He never actually made it to Chile. He developed kidney issues, health problems, and this in turn led to his death on the way to Chile.
That's sad.
It is. Now, the captain of the ship returning his body, Poe was left of poor George into a barrel filled with rum.
Ooh.
Captain Jack's dream funeral, anyone? I think Johnny Depp's character would find that a very apropos funereal arrangement, to be in a barrel of rum, don't you think?
If you are a rum lover, a that's your dream.
If you're a pirate.
That would be your kind of your dream?
But this is George, so I'm sure that wasn't where he wanted to end up. So he was put into this barrel of rum, and the barrel was shipped back to San Francisco and the family. Now, after a number of weeks, the barrel was dropped off in Tahiti. So it's, remember, back then, it takes a long time to get
it took a long back. Time. There was no phones. Yeah. They probably didn't even know what happened to him.
This is where it gets interesting. Now, the plan was for the barrel to be picked up, heading north by another ship. And the ship agreed under the agreement that it be kept a secret so that none of the crew were alarmed that there was this corpse in a barrel of rum.
In a barrel of rum.
So yeah. They actually had to hide under a pile of coconuts on the ship. And this is the crazy part. The family was supposed to receive a letter announcing George's death, but the body arrived before the letter did. So the barrel was full of rum when it showed up, and when you looked at it, you'd think, oh, there's nothing else in here but rum. But when the family butler opened the barrel, it scared the hell out of him as he realized it was the corpse of his former master.
Right.
So they removed
Yikes.
They removed George from the barrel, and they dried him out.
Man, can you imagine when how strong he smelled?
Oh my God, I couldn't. That poor butler, because he's probably had to help.
Yeah, I can imagine what he thought.
It's like, oh, let's dry him out so we can have our funeral.
I hope he wore something
George.
Around his nose because it's the smell of. No.
Oh, I have no idea. But they dried him out and they buried him. And that's where the paranormal activity begins at the Atherton Mansion. Now, legend says that George is avenging both of the women in his life that controlled and tortured him while he was alive. Made him feel unmanly and cowardish.
They handpacked him.
So the legend is he's the one haunting the mansion to get revenge on these controlling women.
They must have been really controlling if people came to that conclusion.
Well, Dominga and Gertrude would continually hear knocks on the door to wake them up late at night, and they'd often have these weird cold presences around the house that they couldn't
That's
explain.
That's pretty common to have a cold present.
And knocks.
Cold presence even. If something is if someone's haunting the place.
Yeah. See that to me that sounds realistic.
That is realistic.
Up.
No, that's not made up.
There are knocks. There are cold presences.
Right. I've experienced all that stuff before. Yeah.
So they both had enough and decided we need to sell this place and move out.
Enough bad vibes.
Yeah. And they did. And after they were gone, several tenants have moved in, but they don't really stay or stick around very long because the same thing. Loud knocking late at night, strange cold spots throughout the house, etc. Now, in 1923, the house was bought by Carrie Rousseau, and she actually stayed in the house more than a year, which was more than any other tenant since Dominga and Gertrude had moved out.
It must
out.
Not have bothered her much.
I guess, but, or it's something else. The weird thing is Carrie lived only in the mansion's ballroom, and she surrounded herself with over 50 house cats.
You know, cats are good with that kind of thing. They can absorb energy. Or they probably stood there and went, yeah.
But look, Verna, if you're the crazy cat lady, I don't know if you were going to see there are any ghosts in the house. You're too busy
taking care of the cat.
Taking care of the cat. Imagine the cat box duty.
Well, she had enough room, that's for sure.
Well, that's what's funny is she passed away at age 93 in 1974. And she converted the ballroom into her apartment.
Wait a minute. In 1993, at age 74. Was she
No, other way around.
Oh, okay.
93 years old in 1974.
74. Was she still living in there with all the cats?
In 74, yes. And let me finish.
All right.
She converted the ballroom for her apartment.
Okay.
And called it apartment 13.
Okay.
And the one beside it was the converted banquet hall, and that's the one her cats lived in next to her.
So they all lived in one room, all the cats?
The cats lived in one room, she lived in the one next to it. They lived in the banquet hall, she lived in the ballroom. Imagine the smell in the banquet room.
Well, not if you have scented litter.
This was not... I'm pretty sure
but
there
this
was
is 1974,
no
so that was before Advantage came out, so yeah, she probably really had to control the flea problem,
it
too.
It was probably nasty, I'm just saying.
Okay, all so, the fur flying. Unless they were short-haired cats.
But they're probably all kinds of cats, I'm sure. Once she died, though, legend has that her spirit joined the others that resided there. A ghost hunter who performed a seance claims there are spirits of three women: Gertrude, Dominga, and the crazy cat lady, Carrie.
That's a crowded house.
And I wonder how many cat spirits are in there.
Yeah,
I'm
meow.
Just saying. Many people believe that George's presence is very rare and low, that he's not really the forceful spirit in the mansion. Most common things...
He probably
that,
got tired of it.
Well, probably got crowded out by the three women.
And the cats.
And the cats. He's probably like, I can't stand this afterlife cat pee smell. So, most common things that happen in the building now, and it's mm-hmm. a 13-apartment building uh-huh. today, are cold spots, gushes of air, knocking on walls and doors. Now, if George is haunting the Atherton Mansion, he's doing a really poor job like he did most of his job in life.
Mm-hmm.
The three dominant ghosts being women, it seems like they don't really like men. So, if you're a man and you enter the Atherton Mansion or you move in, you may want to pay heed because if you do have paranormal activity, it could be these three women. They may not like you. They may not like what you do. I'd be curious to talk to some of the residents.
Let's do a little okay. scenario here. Let's okay. say...
But that's the story. That's
the story. Justice. Okay, that's the story. That's what people assume. Let's say yeah. that you're entering... You're a man, of course.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks for verifying that, right? Okay, and you
My pronoun is he.
Yeah, you're a he-man. And you enter the Atherton Mansion to inspect the place.
Yeah, let's say you're a worker, a painter, maintenance
right,
guy.
Right, no. Let's just say this is Tony entering.
Okay.
And
why am I there? Just kidding.
Because you're curious, and they let you in.
Oh, okay.
Okay, and let's just say that you are very... And, of course, I know you. I've been on ghost hunting trips with you, mm-hmm. and you're very sensitive to the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Let's say there's the ghosts of three women standing there, and they're kind of henpecked types.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not the third one. She's not a henpecked type, but she's a cat woman. She likes the cats. Yeah. But the two are henpecked, and they look at you, and they say, "What are you doing here?" And they're kind of henpecking you. How do you handle it?
It depends on what they're doing to me. If they're physically touching me, if they're knocking around me, if there's cold air around me everywhere I go.
Or they're giving you the look.
Well, you'd have to see them to know the look.
Well, you've seen ghosts before.
Not that often. And it's really... Usually yeah. it's so fast, you don't really see a lot of looks.
No, you do see them really fast. It's true. In order for you to see the looks, they have to really...
I would go more on the cold spots.
Right.
Knocking... Gushes of air around me when nobody's moving, and maybe even feelings like, you know, we can feel someone's
right.
watching you or standing over you, or you can pick up a vibes on emotions.
You're tough
too.
And objective enough to get past all of that.
But I also opened myself up for any kind of emotional
mm-hmm.
atmosphere.
Right.
It's funny because I was talking on Facebook, I think, to Janice Oberding.
Yeah.
And we were talking about all these people are like, oh, they brought all this equipment, and she's like, you know, I really think people need to really focus on themselves as their best equipment.
Absolutely,
tool.
Because your sensitive spot starts to really, really become more amplified the more you do this.
But I think it takes, and this is what happened to me. I've done it. I've done it for about 15 plus years now,
mm-hmm.
and I was into all kinds of equipment. I was fascinated by things. I always wanted to try everything new equipment wise.
Right.
And as time has gone on, I've dropped away. All the equipment, because I realized mm-hmm. if I just sit down and relax, listen, clear my mind, and let anything come into it.
Absolutely, be as quiet as you can. Yeah.
Feel, what am I sensing? What do I feel? Am I cold? Mm-hmm. Am I warm? Is something touching me?
And maybe bring a couple things just to record.
Like audio,
or even an image.
But the more I get into it, the more I use myself as the tool. Yourself. It's the most important tool.
Yeah.
So that's what I would probably do at the Atherton is, but I would probably bring a trigger sound of cats.
Oh, yeah. For the cats.
To see if we could get another cat to meow back.
Yep.
That would be interesting.
Or bring
maybe even bring a cat toy, a stuffed cat.
Bring the laser toy, you know, the light.
Yep.
The one they chase.
Yeah. So there's trigger things I would use if I ever got to investigate, especially in apartment. Whoever is in that poor banquet hall, I wonder if their apartment smells like cat piss.
Who knows? Who knows? Because sometimes, I mean, when there's a lot of pets in one place, like one room, it takes a long time to really get that.
But if you got 50 cats for years,
50
peeing on the floor because they live in one room.
Well, maybe who knows they peed on the floor.
Yeah,
maybe she had litter boxes.
If you have 50 cats of different ages, someone's going to pee on the floor. You know that's going to happen. If anyone who has cats, it's going to happen eventually somewhere. And if you have 50 of them, it's going to happen.
50, it's going to be happening more than you think. Yeah.
So I would.
Clean animals too.
Does anybody live in apartment 12 in the Atherton apartment mansion?
If you live in that mansion, we'd like to hear from you. And
yes.
And if you don't mind us inspecting the place and coming in, just to see the atmosphere, we'd like that.
Maybe sit and talk about it for a while, see if we can do some EVP sessions. Just see what we pick up, if we pick up anything.
Yeah, and I don't live so far from there, so,
get a hold of us for sure.
It's beautiful. I know the place. It's a beautiful house.
Ectoportal@gmail.com.
Yeah, that's our email address, yeah.
Yep, and then we can set that up. All right, so that is the haunted Atherton Mansion of San Francisco. So you have a very close haunted place, Verna. You can visit whenever you like, if you can get in.
Right. If I can get in, or just walk past it and just say hello.
You know the history now.
And just say hello to Gertrude and the cats.
Yep.
And the other ladies and the cats.
Just think that's where that...
Actually, I don't want to say hello because they might actually spot it and say, who are you? And no, thank you.
But that's where George's poor body got delivered in the barrel of rum.
Poor George. You know, he probably got tired of it and left.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure that's the way his wife, Gertrude, really wanted to see her husband return home in a barrel of rum
decomposing. You know, I want to expand on that for a second. That would be heartbreaking.
Well, there's so many questions, right? And no one's there to answer them because it was on one ship, transferred to another ship in Tahiti to get back to San Francisco. So you have no
idea.
Poor
woman must have been in shock.
But you have no information as to what happened to him. I guess maybe somebody might have written something small.
Where is he buried now?
I have no idea.
Okay. I guess go to find a grave and find out.
I would guess he was in one of the San Francisco cemeteries.
Like Mountain View Cemetery?
Probably got moved to Colma.
Oh, yeah, to Colma, right.
So we could look it up, though. We could find out.
Oh, yeah, we could find out.
So there you go, folks. I love haunted stories. I love haunted houses,
and especially local. Yeah, San Francisco has a lot of it.
Yep, so we'll always cover that kind of stuff. And that's this week's show, and we'll hope you join us next week for another episode of Ecto Portal. So until then, we'll say goodbye.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Music by Mark Vandermeulen and theme by Ross Bugden. Be sure to visit us at www.ectoportal.com. Check out our archives on YouTube and head on over for new episodes to ectoportal.podbean.com.